You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
Hey, and welcome back to the Slaw Office. Ladies and gentlemen, this is yet another episode. We are live. Right now, we're going to do what we normally do in the first 15 seconds, which is go to our Facebook and share the Slaw Office. So if you're on the Slaw Office, if you're not on us, if you're doing it, whatever, when you're watching it, share it. Make sure you share it. Comment. Talk to us, man. Let us know what you think. We're going to cover a couple topics. Tonight, we're going to keep this one a little shorter than what we normally been running. We're going to try to keep it around our 30-minute time. But anyways, obviously, you know me, the real Russo, your host, alongside the secondary Russo.
The realist.
Russo. Secondary, born later, way less athletic, less superior than the more genetically superior version, me. And that'd be Kyle. Kyle, what'd you do this weekend or this week? What happened? Hey, where's the... What happened, dude? Did my partner hit a TD? I saw a video, man. What's going on with the kiddo?
Oh yeah, my boy. Yeah. He housed one this weekend, man.
He housed it, man.
I got you. Worked on it. We've been working on it. Hey, you're getting the handoff. It's almost like the read option. I'm giving it to you. I need him downhill. You know what I'm saying? I need him downhill. Hitting the sideline and going. So that's exactly what he did, man. He hit the sideline and he went, bro. So
yeah, you gotta get him. You gotta get him that Derrick Henry downhill running.
You gotta,
not bro. That Leonard Fournette downhill running, because that really doesn't go anywhere.
No, bro. It doesn't. It
really evident doesn't. As of this past weekend. But really I need doesn't. That Derrick Henry downhill. I need that full I want that bus. You know what I'm saying?
Why is everybody saying like Fournette had like he had some great game? I heard somebody say he had a career day. Like, dude, rushed for like 68 yards.
Yeah,
had like I get he had like 122 total with like a touchdown or two.
Yeah,
but like
that possibly wasn't a touchdown. But we're not.
Yeah,
we know. If I get on that subject, every Saints fan is going to come after me about the referees, how they have it against them. But whatever,
Not this year. It's not this year, man.
Jay Steele, what up, Jay Steele Bout Money, all the way from Buffalo, New York. Welcome to the show. Appreciate you tuning in, player.
Nice.
Anyways, enough of that. He housed one like his older cousin would do. That's awesome. I'm so
like
proud.
Or like his Paul does.
Don't say Paul. You're not living in a 60s TV show. Don't say Paul.
It's Paul.
Anyways, Paul, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs this past weekend. We're going to brush up on the future or not so future of Drew Brees. So just going to give you a heads up. Go ahead and get your tissue papers out or your napkins, whatever you use. Some of you use that 1-ply, 2-ply, 3-ply, whatever. Depends on how fancy you are.
You use the one ply, don't you?
Give me that John Wayne shit any day. So, anyways, we're going to talk about that. And I want to touch on a subject. We've touched a little bit on the Harden trade, but I want to touch a little bit about on the NBA. I want to touch on the state of the NBA, like the super teams, and where are we going from that. And we're going to bring our first guest. We're going to bring our guest for the weekend. Now, me and this guy went to college together, straight hooper. That's what we did. We hooped all the time. When it was like you wasn't with me shooting in the gym, we were shooting in the gym. That's what we did, man. So first and foremost, let's give it up for my man, Joe Ritchie. Joe, welcome to the show, baby.
All right. Great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Yes, sir, unfortunately, yes, wearing that purple and gold, but you know what?
It looks great.
We're in Kyle Field back here, baby. You know what I'm saying? Kyle Field. So anyways, Joe, appreciate you coming on. Listen, man.
Thank you.
Obviously, we went to college together. We know each other from that area. You're living out in Baton Rouge, right? What are you doing now, man?
I was in Lake Charles for the better part of 12 years with the COVID madness that broke out in February. I had an oil and gas job and just got the best of what I was doing there at the moment, and financial reasons and family reasons, man, I came back home to Baton Rouge. So I had man, I hadn't been home since I graduated high school in 2005. So it was it's good to be back and be closer to dad and man, just making it happen over here, man. I've got my own lawn business full time and just cutting grass every day, man.
On the screen, Richie Brothers.
That's right. There we go.
LLC.
I tell you what. Baton Rouge is not a bad spot to land at. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's not like
you're only saying that from an athletic perspective, as a sports perspective. No, but okay.
No, not at all, man.
Great, man.
So anyways, well, let's start on, let's talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs this past weekend. We had four games take place in the divisional round. What'd you think? I mean, what game to me, Joe, what game stood out to you, man? Which game was like, man, that was a damn good game.
Well, I mean, personally for me, I was really looking forward to the two Sunday matchups. So I was really looking forward to the Browns and Chiefs. And then of course, you know, I had to tune in for my Saints. So, I thought it was pretty interesting, man, especially with, you know, with Mahomes going down and of course everybody's real uptight about calling it a concussion. And I mean, if you read up on the headlines today, now they're saying it's some kind of optic nerve in his neck.
Right.
And I don't think there's going to be any doctor in Kansas City that's going to dare say he's got a concussion. You know what I'm saying?
He'll be out of practice.
Yeah, he'll be practicing. He's probably practicing right now.
Oh, he was on the Twitter machine about an hour after the game. I'm good to go. I'm ready. You know, passed all the tests. Right. What are we doing? What tests?
No.
You know.
Yeah. No. If that doctor doesn't clear him, that doctor won't have a practice in KC.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let me touch on that. So honestly, what do you feel about that? So in this situation, obviously, it's divisional round going into the championship round, the AFC championship game. I mean, NFL's high on the concussion protocol, everything like that. But what, I mean, honestly, how shady do you think this process is right now with the Mahomes situation? He's a star. Now, if it's Chad Henning that goes down or some third stringer, you know, some special teamer going down, obviously he may not play. With the Mahomes situation, Kyle, I want your opinion on it. I want Joe's. What do y'all think? I mean, honestly, is it going to be like this is Patrick Mahomes? That's why we're not calling it a concussion, but he really, I mean, dude, we all saw him get up. We all saw that look.
He was woozy.
He was glassed out. He was.
Yeah.
How is that not a concussion?
Honestly, at first I was worried that was a leg injury. Like when he first went down, I thought it was a leg injury. Then you kind of see the replay and he did get his neck jarred. He was put in kind of a headlock. So I see the angle that can be taken here by KC and their medical staff. So I get it. Right. But yeah, like you said, bro, dude was, he was out on his feet, dude. He was punch drunk. You know, when you get, you know what I'm saying? So like you see a boxer, he takes a lick and he's just like,
we're right up the street from New Orleans. We all know what punch drunk is. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, so
when you see the hit, it didn't look like it was a real hard, like helmet to helmet or like a real, like devastating head hit. But I didn't, you know, you've also got the narrative where it was a dirty play where he got choked out. I mean, you could obviously tell when he went down, but man, whenever he got back on his feet, man, it was kind of one of those, whew, like he had taken a left from Tyson or something, man. He was a little woozy there, you know?
He looked it for sure.
So, Baker and the Browns, they get a little bit more of your respect, Joe, or is that just like, we played a really dang good game and Patrick kind of got hurt towards the end? I mean, where do you think they're going to be next year? What do you think?
I'm going to be honest. I've got a lot more confidence in Baker moving forward, man. I mean, he had a great game. Now, I mean, you've got under 6 minutes, and you've got Romo in the air, and you know, hey, this is the biggest offensive possession in Baker's career.
Sure.
And you know, you're at that 4 minute mark, and you take that risk where it's like, yeah, you know, Chad Henne's on the other side. We're going to go ahead and punt the ball at whatever 4 minutes, 38 seconds left. But it's like, man, you've got no guarantee that you're getting the ball back. But I'll tell you what, man, he had his throws. He made some long throws. I mean, unfortunately, you know, you've got the the coaching. You know, you can't stretch out there on the goal line. Who was that? Higgins that lost the ball there and it went through the end zone. It was just an unfortunate play, you know. But I mean, that was kind of the curse of Cleveland there. You know, I mean, that was the turning point of the game. You know, if he doesn't lose that touchback, I mean, it's a different ballgame.
Yeah, I feel like in that situation, I mean, it's Cleveland versus Kansas City. It's David and Goliath. You go for it. You keep going. Like, yeah, you can give them the ball, but it's still the Chiefs. Yeah, they don't have Patrick Mahomes, but they've got some running backs. They've got – it's Andy Reid. You don't want to give him the opportunity to seal the win. I don't know. To me, you go for it, but, you know.
But here's another thing that you can look at, too. If Andy Reid doesn't have that Super Bowl, you know, ring under his belt, is he as aggressive as with Henny there at the end? You know,
that was a ball.
I mean, right there. Man, balls. You know, I mean, that took a lot of nerve there to have that. I mean, whether it's Mahomes, I mean, you know, Henny. I mean, everybody's real excited. You know, anything is possible. But man,
anything is not possible with him.
No,
but I'm kind of on a different page with Baker right now. In all reality, man, if Baker's going to be the guy, imagine if Baker got hurt in that game. How many points and Mahomes doesn't? How many points does KC put up, man? You know what I'm saying? So like at halftime. Yeah. At halftime, we see it and we're like, ooh, this could get bad quick. It's going there. And then all of a sudden, Mahomes gets hurt. They miss field goals, turn the ball over. You know what I mean? They had hiccups. I think Cleveland and Baker had every opportunity to blow it wide open with Mahomes being out, man. I think it was a missed opportunity. I don't think he's there yet. Like I get that there is – you know, there's room for him to get better and grow and be maybe that guy or a guy and maybe get you to a Super Bowl. But I don't see it. I don't, man. He's in what year? What, three?
Yeah. Yeah. And it seems like he's been in the league for 5 years. He's still young, man.
He has weapons everywhere. The best run game in the league. I mean, he's got to come up and drive, make consistent drives and score points, man. Like, you see Baker, and there's so much to be desired.
Right.
I mean, you're athletic, man. It looks like you're making the right reads. You look like you're a leader on the field, and it's just like it's frustrating watching him. I'm not even a Browns fan. I'm frustrating watching their offense. Yeah. You know, it's
yeah.
He's got to do better, man. If you're a franchise quarterback, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw for 204 yards with 37 attempts. A pick and a touchdown. I get the fumble, and that's a turning point of the game as far as momentum. You play the game differently when they do score right there. But, yeah. I mean, dude, put it on your back. If you're the man, if you're the number one overall pick, put it on your back. I mean, the same thing we're going to be saying about Burrow, man. You got to put Cincy on your back and go.
Yeah, and the only thing, I mean, you know, moving forward into the offseason, into next year, I mean, The one thing that stood out the most for me with Baker, I mean, he had that 18 play drive, you know. So it's what they converted with two fourth downs there, but also Stefanski, man. I mean, he's on a roll here. He's a coach of the year candidate, and you're going to challenge that play for 10 yards. What I mean, so now you lose a timeout right there. The time management, man, clock management. I mean, those are the little things in the playoffs. This isn't a regular season, man. I mean, this is everything's on the line, you know. And bottom line, I agree with what you said. You have that opportunity. You've got Mahomes out of the game. It's like, oh my God, here's the opportunity for the Browns. And bottom, sure. I mean, at the end of the day, you just didn't get it done, you know.
No. And I mean, you know, we're armchair quarterbacks. Let's be honest. We're no more than armchair quarterbacks. We see things. We look at things. We try to see stuff. Yeah. I mean, I feel like he's got. I don't know, like, I'll touch a little bit on it because nobody else wants to really do it, but if it's like the Bills and the Ravens game, like, I feel like Lamar Jackson, yes, he wins the MVP, but if you ever listen to podcasts, if anybody wants to know about it, I'm super critical of Lamar Jackson. I don't feel like the guy can throw the ball. I don't feel like he can throw the ball. Now, can he make a throw here and there? Yes, but he's very inconsistent. It's not, you know, he's gonna take a lick real soon, and it's going to hurt. And he's going to feel it, and he's going to be a different player, and maybe he'll start throwing the ball. I feel like Baker's similar in the mindset. That's what I was getting at. I feel like Baker's similar to that. I feel like some of his throws are pretty inconsistent. He almost makes better throws on the run than he does in the pocket. And some of his decision-making when throwing the ball to me is just inconsistent at best. So I think those are things that are different between him and like a Patrick Mahomes, or him and now even like a Josh Allen, these guys, and a Aaron Rodgers and a Drew Brees and a Tom Brady. You got to be pretty definitive with your decision making when it comes to throwing these balls. And I feel like that is what hurts these guys, especially these running quarterbacks. And I say running quarterbacks, but I'm just, let's be honest. The guys, yeah, the guys like to run the ball. They just, when it's passing the ball, they got to make a decision. They're not out here like Aaron Rodgers, who gives two shits about what you're doing, because he's just going to throw the ball. He knows where to put the ball. He knows his receiver is going to get the ball, and he's got confidence in his receivers to go get the ball. You have,
yeah,
I know Odell's out, but you got Odell and Jarvis at receiver. How much confidence? How much more confidence as a quarterback do you need?
And yeah, two solid tight ends at that.
I love Njoku. I love Njoku. Now Hooper's a good to me. Hooper's like a lesser Kelsey, but Njoku's an absolute stud, yeah, man. I'm ready for him to just ball out.
No, I agree, man. And touching on what you said about you know, the Ravens offense and you know, here's the deal. Somebody was saying earlier today, you know, the biggest difference between, you know, Josh Allen and the Bills and what you have here with, you know, with Lamar, is the biggest difference is Diggs. Okay. So,
sure.
And for me, but for me, I have a hard time understanding that if you look at the film of Josh Allen last year, man, he's got happy feet, man. He's kind of bouncing around. Look how calm, like his feet are level, man. Oh. He's composed in the pocket. His accuracy has gone through the charts. So yeah, for me, if you're comparing Lamar, does he have the ability to just become this accurate passer next year? I mean, he's one of the most incredible,
athletic quarterbacks, right?
Athletes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, you're looking at the Ravens, where their first pick in the draft is at the very end of the first round. So, I mean, you've got to go get a receiver. But this is more than just, I mean, Allen's got a cannon. First off, he's like 6'6". The guy's a refrigerator, yeah, man.
You absolutely
know? And so, and he can get hammered, but he's also, I mean, he's passing the ball, man. And I just, yeah, I don't see where, I mean, I don't see, yeah, how Lamar can be, you know, Lamar's just a run first guy. I just don't see the accuracy there changing in 1 year's time.
You know? Yeah. Right. So I'll ask you, me and Kyle, we'll wait till the episode on Friday, but your pick, Bills or Chiefs? I don't want to throw, let's just say everybody's healthy and Mahomes hasn't had a concussion, but go ahead. What do you think, Joe?
I'm going Bills, man.
Bills?
I'm going Bills. I think you've got the Bills Mafia, man, and the momentum. I think Josh Allen is playing with just incredible confidence, and I think they're going to surprise the world, man. I'm going Bills here.
Good deal. So the Packers did what we thought they were going to do. They're legitimately the Tony Dungy. They are who we thought they were. The Packers are just unbelievable. I'm just saying. But
that wasn't even
I know it's not even, I'm thinking of, you got me all flustered.
we're there.
We got you.
They destroy the Rams.
I can't think of his name either. I'm not even gonna lie.
They destroy
one of those things that you're not. Yeah, absolutely.
Easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't even have to touch on it. Is he your MVP, Joe?
Man,
if not, who then?
Nah, man. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. At this moment, I just feel like a lot of that has to do with the momentum and recency bias. And if you take those last three or four games with Mahomes, and then the last three or four with Aaron Rodgers, and then there's also an argument where it's like week 17. Hey, we did so good. You know, Mahomes didn't have to play that game. You know,
sure.
But I just feel like as on fire as Devonta Adams has been, I mean, man, I'm okay with giving it to Rodgers, man. You know, it just kind of depends on what do you favor more, touchdowns or yards. I mean, there's a lot of, if you go back there, you know, Rodgers has a lot of 2-3 yard touchdowns. But he's just been an animal. You know, he's been a beast, and I think with his career and his age, I think he's gonna, you know, the NFL likes a good story.
That's it right there. So, yeah, that's it right there. Career and age for me.
Yep.
So the Packers beat the Rams, and then they go to the late night Sunday night game, the game we all waited for. I mean, I know I did. Yeah. I even stayed up late for that game. So, late. But the Saints fall to the Buccaneers. Tommy Terrific shows up. Drew Brees. They did what I thought they would do. You put pressure on Drew Brees. As of late, over the last year or so, especially with these 9, 12, you know, they're going to fabricate these rib injury numbers to make him be a Billy Badass, but however many ribs he's cracked and broke, I mean,
11.
Whatever. 11. I think, yeah, yeah. Anyways, it doesn't matter if it was one. Drew Brees played like absolute dog shit.
Well, I mean,
maybe final game.
If you put pressure on any quarterback, man, that's any quarterback, they're not going to look good. I mean, you put pressure on Tom, that's his MO, dude. And anything up the middle, up the A gaps, you get anything right there. I mean, these quarterbacks are done. Mahomes, Rodgers, maybe not Rodgers. Rodgers could get out. Mahomes could kind of get. I mean, Mahomes. I see Mahomes get tracked down, but I'm saying, I mean, dude's obviously Mahomes, but I mean, you put pressure on any quarterback now. I think guys kind of let Drew down a little bit. I think there was a few. I think there was a few. I mean, Mike Thomas.
You're not talking about Mike Thomas, are you?
Kamara, Mike Thomas. I mean, Jared Cook. I mean, it could be spread around to everybody. Now, Drew didn't play a very good game either. Now, how long is this system that they've been running with Sean Payton? You know, about 15 years, right?
Tried and true.
Yeah.
15 years. How many times have you seen a running back, when Devin White got the pick, how many times have you seen the Saints running back go 15 yards down the field without turning his head? Never. Ever. It's right out the backfield. You catch it, you make the move.
I knew it. It's a setup. Okay. It was a setup.
Okay.
That's what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying it's a setup. I'm saying turn your head. Alvin Kamara, turn your head and catch the ball, make Devin White miss. All right? Not a seam route up the field. Yes, I've seen Saints running backs – hit basically run a wheel route. Mm-hmm. I've seen that, but nothing up the seam like that where you have a running back, even back to Reggie Bush days, man. We've never had a running back just run straight up the seam like that. I mean, that I don't put that on Drew. I really don't. That was on film, that's a horrible pass, but I don't put it on Drew. I don't know the play, but after watching 15 years of that system, I've never seen a running back run a seam up the field from the running back position. Then you have Jared Cook. I mean, crucial. Up 7. You're going to have great field position on 3rd and 4. You catch a slant. We've got a first down. And you hold the ball like a loaf of bread. It gets knocked out. Now, Jared Cook has had issues holding onto the ball and catching balls
for
the last 2 years. So, it doesn't surprise me. I wasn't surprised.
He was an absolute dog with the Raiders. But go ahead.
Okay, I mean he's been a great tight end for us too. So I mean I'm just saying he's dropped balls and he's fumbled at inopportune times. Now
five or six fumbles.
Yeah.
For the year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean they're playing man up. We got to beat them man up.
But they didn't play man the whole game.
Most game they played man up.
The first quarter, for sure, they manned up,
and then Mike Thomas, you got to get open. Drew, you gotta target him more. We got to make catches in traffic. I saw probably 3 or 4 balls dropped, not even traffic, contested with a DB in your hip pocket. We got to catch the ball. We got to come down it, you know. So, Drew didn't have a great game. But it spiraled out of control quick for him. It was like 3 series in a row, and it just all went to shit.
When I talk about pressure, and I say this, Drew Brees' arm is not the same. And I said this last week on the show. I said this is the dream matchup. 5 years too late.
Yeah,
you give me even in their late 30s, you give me Drew Brees and Tom Brady. And a good pivotal, it had to have been Super Bowl at that time, but it didn't happen. That's a different game. And that score is not 30-20. That score may be 50-45. Because
it's a track meet.
It would be. So, but you notice, Drew is made so many throws and plays off of backpedaling and weaseling his way out of a little bit of pressure years ago. And he's not the same since returning from that rib injury, in my opinion. He should have sat his last two games. I don't care what anybody says. You secured a playoff spot. At worst, you probably would have been the 3 seed. Why not? You're rolling with Taysom Hill and all this, and you got – last week when you played Chicago, Drew Brees had one pass. Drew Brees didn't even have a single pass over like 25 yards. They let Taysom Hill come in to throw the deep ball, and it got snubbed. This past week, you put Jameis Winston in a game to throw the deep ball. You know he don't have the arm strength. So when he's getting pressured, the first interception that he threw – to me,
horrible ball.
But 2 years ago, Drew Brees makes that throw.
Yeah,
he's gonna lead the receiver over instead of under throwing it because he doesn't have. I'll tell you this, and I'll be done with Drew Brees. I'll let you guys have the floor. I'd like to see him leave. I'd like to see him retire now. I'd like to see him get out before it becomes bad. I don't want another noodle arm. I don't need Peyton 2.0. He had an absolute hell of a Hall of Fame first ballot career. Drew Brees, it's time to go.
What you think, Joe?
All right, man. Few things here to unload, okay? All right. Piggybacking on your comment about having to bring Taysom Hill in last week for the long pass, man, it's devastating to have Jameis come in the game and just so effortlessly, man. He throws a dime and it's a perfect pass. It's a strike. Okay, now a couple things here. All right, Brees is coming off whatever 11 ribs. Okay, here's my issue with Sean Payton. Okay. If Belichick was a head coach, does Brees even play at all? I mean, because you have to draw the line here. Whether it's are we honoring and just being loyal to Brees because, man, he's been here and he's what he's done for the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana. And I understand that, man. You've gone through Katrina, just the impact that he's had on the city of New Orleans, okay, and his family, and it's a courageous story. At the end of the day, are we getting paid here to win ball games? You know. Like where this is a Super Bowl's on the line. So for me personally, you know, as much as I love Brees, he shouldn't have played at all in the second half, you know? And it was one of those you could read the body language, but here's another thing. I'm a huge body language guy. There was no the look in his eye, man. He was just it just wasn't there. You know, I mean, Drew Brees, he's a dog. I mean, what is he? 5'10", 5'11" at the most. And the ball is in the air forever. I mean, he's an accurate passer, but at the end of the day, what was it? It was 19 for 34, and his average pass yardage was 3.4 yards a game. I mean, it was almost like they told Aikman before the game, "Hey, look, this is gonna be Brees' last game in the Superdome. Let's just kind of let's go easy on him. Right? Don't unload on him." By the fourth quarter, Aikman was saying, "No, man, Brees' inability to pass the ball down the field." Yeah, no kidding, Aikman. Yeah, because there's the inability in my living room watching the game where it's like, "Whoo, man, sure would be nice to be able to throw a 15-yard pass." You know, I mean, it was just – and it's to the point where, you know, you made the point on Cook. I mean, this is like his fifth or sixth fumble. I mean, Mike Thomas doesn't catch a ball, you know? Can't guard Mike. Ridiculous. You know what his nickname is in the locker room? Can't stand Mike. He's a nightmare. You know, he's a prima donna. He's a great player. He gets paid. What are you doing? Where are you this year? You know, Gardner Johnson getting. I mean, he's the one that, you know, Mike Thomas hit Gardner Johnson. It's like, well, what are you doing? You know, and the Flyers for me in the offseason, Thomas is gone, man. It's done. What do we?
Yeah, I've been kind of low key on the Thomas to the Texans train, but I mean, money wise, the Saints aren't going to be able to swing it, especially with Drew's numbers. And yeah, honestly, it's a bigger hit. I think it's a bigger hit if he stays. I think it's something like what 25 mil if he stays.
Yeah.
But if he retires, it'd be 11 next year, and they could spread it out over 2 years. So I mean, numbers wise, it would work if Drew retires. If I mean,
it's not going to work. Most dead cap out of any NFL team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, dead money next year for Taysom and Drew, if Drew comes back, is something like $62 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's ridiculous.
What do you think? You have to understand there was no Taysom, there was no Latavius Murray. I mean, that makes a big difference, you know. But my God, you've got Kamara who could be a, I mean, he's top three offensive player in the entire league. Where it's just like, I mean, you eliminate Mike Thomas, and I mean, what are we doing, you know?
Yeah, Kamara takes a beating too. A beating every year for the team.
So, what do you think, Kyle? Is he done?
I think he's done. I think in probably like Drew Brees style, he'll wait till after the Super Bowl, or he's not going to step on any. He's not going to step on anybody's time.
Which is just absolute moment. Class. Which
so yeah, which expect. He is. Which yeah, which he, yeah. So
ultimate professional. That's but it. I think NBC would love to have him in the booth.
They got it locked up with it.
He's not Booger McFarlane, and he's not Witten. You know, I think he'll be fine. You know,
he'll be Romo. He'll be Romo-esque.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I think
Rivers has a good career.
What Romo is, dude, I love it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Honestly, that's just me. That's just me putting it out there. I really feel like, dude, Romo is a hell of a corner. I think he's a better commentator than he is a quarterback, but don't get me
started. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So already.
So, Joe, who do you have? I mean, obviously they're going to compete for the starting job. Who do you have? Let's just say that they don't even get another quarterback, or they get a rookie in the seventh round, and we've seen what rookie seventh round picks for the Saints do at quarterback. They're there for like four or five years, and then they're gone. So who do you have? Who are you thinking?
So here's my thing. I mean, as a pure passer, you got to go with Jameis, okay? So who is the only quarterback in NFL history to ever block a punt? That's Taysom, man. Taysom is just – you know, I mean, he can do so much, special teams. I mean, he can do it all. So, but I mean, and then, you know, you're coming off of Jameis had LASIK surgery in the offseason. I mean, threw for over 5,000 yards last year. And the thing is, look at all that. I mean, look at all the backups this year. You think, you know, Dak Prescott goes out. You don't think the Cowboys would have loved to have Jameis, you know, or just look, I mean, Burrow goes out in Cincinnati. You don't think the Bengals would have loved that. So keep Jameis, man. Let's throw the ball around a little bit. And for me, I think Taysom gets a lot of hate, you know, look at how Peyton
is. He gets a lot.
Well, he can do so much, though, and he's a beast, man.
My thing with Taysom is, well, for one, where you're going to keep Jameis just because of numbers-wise. I mean, you're paying him, a couple mil a year. You're keeping him – you're paying him really nothing for a quarterback. And so you might as well – I mean, there's no reason not to keep him, especially with Drew retiring,
right?
As we expect.
I agree.
But I do kind of – I like Taysom, but I do kind of see, like, the inside track of, like, where he gets a lot of his, like, his flack is it's, like, once out of every, like, 12 or 14 times he touches the ball, it's a turnover. And that is a crazy stat for a guy, for a gadget guy that also plays quarterback.
So,
well, and it's also not a good look where it's like, oh, look, Taysom's back to pass, you know, like Wildcats for, but wonder what he's gonna do.
I've had this. I was thinking like the whole Jameis thing, and I'm like, man, you know, Breeze goes down, you throw in Taysom, you're paying Jameis, honestly, like you said, pennies to the dollar. Like, you're not giving him anything. He's not getting paid shit. So you have Taysom in the game, and everybody's like, oh, why would you think, you know, you brought Jameis in to be the backup quarterback. Why are you? I mean, I really feel like the Saints were like, dude, this is it for Drew. Like, if we play Jameis and he balls out, everybody else is going to want.
We're probably playing in Green Bay this weekend.
Maybe, but I'm saying over those four games that Drew misses, those four or five games where he's playing out of control, kind of like Teddy. Remember what Teddy did? Drew goes down. What does Teddy come in? 5-0, cleans house. Now where's he at? Starting for Carolina. I feel like maybe they were thinking, hey, look, Jameis is the same way. We brought him in to back him up, but because we know he's leaving. But man, if he comes in and balls out and shows out, what's this to say? We're not paying him shit. What's this to say somebody come out and pay a little bit more money? Maybe – I know it sounds shitty, but, dude, they could have easily just kind of been devaluing Winston and not giving him enough tape and not giving – people enough to look at and say, man, Jameis has really turned around after this LASIK eye surgery. The dude's thrown one deep ball. I mean, you haven't even given him the opportunity to earn more money from another team. Like, I really feel like New Orleans almost kind of shafted Jameis in a way, but
I agree.
They've helped themselves because they're like, oh, we're not going to give it, the other NFL teams an opportunity because there's going to be teams. We all know there's going to be teams looking for quarterbacks next year.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of movement there. Yeah.
But anyways, I just think that was that. So, all right, look, we're not pressed for time, but we need to move on. We need to talk about I want to talk about the state of the NBA. Joe, big NBA guy. We bring you on. You're going to be like our NBA expert, man.
Hey, there we go.
Follow the NBA like it's nothing. You're our Bill Simmons. So I need you. I need you to talk to me a little bit. I want you to talk to me about the hard trade. I want you to talk to me about the super team the Nets are dealing with and how things are going to work out. LeBron and the Lakers. Where are they at? Even Golden State with Steph just out there
calling
again. Dude, what's going on? And I mean, this first couple of weeks of the NBA, how do you feel about it? Like, I mean, is it an exciting time to be watching the NBA again outside of the bubble, or for people just listening? I mean, what do you think?
Well, for me, the NBA is always exciting. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, it's the highest caliber basketball in the entire world. It's the best league in the world. Touching on your very first point, I mean, obviously, overwhelmingly, it's been James Harden, right? Everybody is wondering what's going on here, and for me, this is kind of mind-boggling because the Houston Rockets have catered to Harden. Yep. I mean, every step of the way, they've given him everything he's wanted. Okay,
yeah, we covered this last week. The Dwight Howards, the CP3s, the Westbrooks. Yeah. They've given him
anything
world on a plate.
Exactly. And anything he's asked for, they've given it to him to the point where, you know, he's such a casino guy and a strip club guy. His favorite cities, you know, when they're playing in Los Angeles, when they're playing with the Clippers or the Lakers, they're saying he's got his own charter jet. So he's not even flying back with the team. He's going to Vegas for a couple of days. He's determining when we have practice. He's determining, hey, look, I got to take a day off here or there. And what's crazy, you know, you got a guy in the administration with the Rockets, you know, a few weeks ago when all this was going down, he said the one word that Harden does not know how to handle and the one word that he never hears is no. So when you got a guy that has everything he wants with the entire organization, and I can't speak for what Fertitta's doing over there, whether he's a good owner or not. I mean, I don't know, but
dude's about
basketball wise,
all he wants.
Basketball wise, look how out of shape. I mean, it was almost like he was eating his way out of Houston.
Was that like a fat suit, or was that like double jersey, or was that just like water weight? Like,
he's still
nah, man. That was like that he's was like I'm fat. Getting a third plate at Golden Nugget buffet. Yeah. That's pretty easy, man. It's like control.
Hey, you know they've got those strip clubs that have buffets in them now. So,
but look at the, you know, everybody. I mean, he's an incredible player. I mean, he's one of the greatest offensive talents that we've ever seen. But look at the amount of effort when he doesn't have the ball. What is he doing off ball? Where's the movement? He's so disengaged, and it's almost it was crazy, man. You know, Silas comes down, gets the head job, and all you hear from Westbrook and Harden, oh, we have tremendous respect for our new head coach. And so they ask, hey, so when's the last time you spoke to Harden or Westbrook? I haven't spoken to him in 3 weeks. We have oh man, so you know you got incredible respect for your new head coach, but you're off the mat, you know.
Yeah.
And so I mean, and one thing about, you know, you've got AD forcing a trade out of the Pelicans, but I mean, here's the deal. He forced that trade. He goes to Los Angeles, and look what happened. They won a title, and I can't stand the Lakers, you know. But you've got LeBron and you've got AD. You've got a power team, and here's my thing about Los Angeles. They get rid of Rondo for a better point guard. You've got with the Hawks. What am I? I'm having a brain loss. It'll come to me.
But
with the Hawks,
with the thing in his hair.
Schroeder.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you've got Harrell coming over from the Clippers. So the Lakers are the team to beat. Okay. So for the first 10 games, you're like they're unbelievable. All right.
So there's no helping. Like there's no Clippers. There's no.
No.
There's nobody else.
No. Warriors, no. To me, it was the Lakers, and I mean, you had a couple weeks ago. It was like the fourth or fifth game. The Dallas Mavericks were beating the Clippers by 50 points.
Yeah,
it was like it was 77-27 at halftime. When does that ever happen? So for me, it was the Lakers, and then it was everybody else.
Sure.
So
no Nuggets, no Cinderella running Nuggets, no Portland.
No, I didn't. I mean, and I didn't see that. And so with when you're talking about the Warriors, it's like Klay Thompson is that big of a difference, you know. Yeah. And you know, Steph is playing unbelievable basketball. And the thing about Steph that's great this year is nobody's talked about Steph. You know, he missed all of last year. He's been under the radar. He hit 62 the other day, and it's like, hey, I'm still the greatest shooter ever to live.
That's right after the shit in his face, basically.
The media had something to say. Yeah.
They went at his throat, and he's like,
absolutely.
Really? Let me show you something real quick.
And you've got Wiseman as a generational talent. Well, Wiseman looks enormous, man. He's a beast, you know, 7-1 is wingspan.
He's going to be a beast.
Oubre, and Oubre isn't even 30% of what Klay Thompson is, you know?
No, he's not. He's not going to fill that void.
He's not going to be.
So you say Lakers. That means the East is pretty fun to watch. You've got a couple teams. I mean, you could throw the Nets. Obviously, they're going to be in there now. The Bucks, Celtics, 76ers. I mean, who do you have coming out of the East? Out of the East.
So I think the best coach in the East is Stevens with the Celtics. Okay.
Sure.
So he's got the most pieces that I believe. So Tatum is playing unbelievably. You've got Brown that's playing great. Kimba's just coming back. But here's my thing with the Nets. So, you know, whatever the person, I guess, you know, Kyrie comes out this morning and he said it was personal issues isn't it nice to just go miss 7 games? I mean, he's on a Zoom call. He's on some kind of Zoom call. He's seen at a birthday party at his sister's birthday party with no mask. You know, what are we doing? But but you've got three guys that have the ball in their hand the majority of their career. So,
exactly.
So 22 seconds.
Here's
my thing. When the game's on the line, you know, the last 2 minutes, last minute 30 seconds, who's going to take that shot? Who's going to take control? And how are those other two guys going to respond? So for me, I think KD is the better team player. I think he understands. But
100%. You've seen what he did. Yes, he hopped teams and went to Golden State and stuff like that. But he filled the role. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He shot the ball when he was supposed to shoot the ball. He gave the ball up and let somebody else handle the ball and do what they wanted to do. Then again, it's a very similar situation, though. You've got Steph, who's just lights out, shoot the ball. Klay Thompson, lights out, shoot the ball. You've got two guys. They're not as pure a shooter as those two. But as far as offensive threats, getting to the basket, Kyrie's hard to stop. He's the clutch shot. James Harden, I'm not going to go and say he's a clutch shot. We can move on from that, but he can get to the basket before the game. I tell you what, one person who won't be taking the last shot is James Harden.
James Harden isn't a role player.
No, he's not. I think it's going to be an issue. He's enjoying this KD Harden thing. Wait till Kyrie gets there.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot more cancerous, so to speak. Come the trio. I don't think fluid as the other three.
There's not enough ball to go around.
There's no gray area either. Either this is going to be absolutely remarkable. This is going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe we've ever doubted this. Or this is going to be a complete dumpster fire.
Right.
I think it's going to be. And you know what? I'm leaning more 65-70% dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire.
For me, this is what it is. The locker room, man, the chemistry. How well do you get along? Because, man, let me tell you, to be able to mesh on the court, look how well those Golden State guys got along.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the reason KD got out of there. The Golden State Warriors are Stephen Curry, man. He was never going to be Stephen Curry. That's not, right. I mean, he realized as good as he, and man, he was playing, you know, 2017-18, I mean, he was probably playing better than LeBron at that time, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so he wanted to go be the man. And for me, it's kind of like how, you know, what is Harden just going to go stand in the corner and wait for the penetrating pop? You know what I mean? So how is that going to go? How is there, you know, how's that chemistry going to go? And how are, you know, how are they going to be able to put it?
I don't think he's on the team at the end of the year.
Which one?
Kyrie. I don't think Kyrie stays. I really don't think Kyrie stays till the end of the year. I think he's going to force his way out and he's going to have a super team somewhere else. It's just the way.
So let me ask you this. You think the Nets were sitting there looking like, wow, like this has been 2 weeks and Kyrie's already gone into left field. Hey, yeah, man, like we can't waste another year of KD in his prime. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, let's go make this happen.
Yeah, I really feel like they were content with keeping KD and Kyrie and running with that. And then you add Harden because of the issues like you named earlier with the party. And then him just – I mean, Kyrie has a bad problem with just ghosting his team. Like, I mean, ghosted LeBron, didn't give him – for the longest, didn't even give him a reason why he left, just wanted to leave. Yeah, I'm out. I mean, just – what's up, man? Just tell me what's going on.
Seems like a difficult person to get along with.
Exactly. You know? And I mean, you look at him in his Zoom call interview meeting. He's laying down as he's in the Zoom meeting, like interview. Like I don't know, man. I don't think he's ready. I mean, all
he's
the time
burning sage on the basketball court in Boston.
Yeah, dude. Like,
but I feel like him and
I don't think he's ready for this situation.
I think they're one and the same, 6.5 dozen. It's Harden's the same way. Like, listen, man, I'm a lifelong Rockets fan. Love the beard. You know, cooked with him all day. Was all about it, man. You know, and it started taking a toll on me over the last couple of years, just realizing, you know, just what's going on, dude. CP3 is an outstanding player. Look what he did to Oklahoma City last year.
Look what he's doing with Phoenix.
You're right. Phoenix is a playoff team. He's also got Booker. I'll give him that. Booker and Ayton. So he's got two studs to bring up, two young studs to bring up. But without CP3, the Rockets didn't get as far as they did. I was at the game when they beat the Clippers. I was there. Trust me, I lost my voice. It was crazy dope. I love it. But he's run them all off. Harden has run them all off. Like, and I feel like him and Kyrie are the same people. Like, Kyrie's having all these massive issues. So you bring in Harden to be like, well, let me substitute Kyrie because he's not going to be here. I feel like he's detrimental to the team. So you're going to bring in, you know.
Well, who else are they going to bring in? I mean, they see Harden's already ready to leave. They just are like, okay.
Play the game.
They're just hoping that all this is a hope that Kyrie, because, I mean, he's just missed his seventh game for conditioning reasons, but Harden drops weight in a day and a half, and he doesn't need any time off conditioning.
Drops 30 in the day, baby.
Exactly.
Triple double.
And Harden,
and then had the best numbers out of any.
But that's what he does. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't care at the end of the day if Harden averages 40 points a game, 15 rebounds, and 15 assists. When it comes to the playoff time,
we know.
You won't see him.
Where are you?
I don't care what anybody. I have, as a freaking lifelong Rockets fan, I'm sorry, but we have had too many good goddamn teams for too many years in Houston to never
3-1 on Golden State.
Last
3-1 on Golden State.
He's passing that ball like a hot potato. He don't want it.
Yep.
He don't want
it. Or even if he's shooting, he's shooting 3-for-28. Like, dude, let me tell you something. I get it. Shooter shoot. But once you miss 15 in a row,
big
you might want to pass it to somebody else.
Yeah.
Agree. We get play in the rec ball. We've done that. We've missed 15 in a row at Magnese Gym. But ain't nobody paying us money.
No.
You know?
So, and if you're missing 15 in a row, you're probably not playing the next game.
That's right. You're sitting out. Your team's taking the L. You're going to sit on the sideline. And everybody's going to look at you like, nah, I'm going to pick up somebody else.
Yeah.
You're sitting out a couple.
Why don't you go to an open court over there with those two other guys? And play a game of 21. Maybe you'll get some triple doubles like LaMelo. So
hey, but you know what else is funny in the East? You know, nobody's talking about the Heat right now. You know, so well, you've dude, got. Let me tell you, Spoelstra's a good coach too. You know,
they're very. I mean, as far as record wise, like, but they had some talks with I mean, I thought Harden was going to go. I thought Harden was probably going to go to Miami or Philadelphia.
I thought he was going to Philly. I think even up to that day, I thought it was a Ben Simmons Harden switch. I thought that's what was going to happen, you know. And as far as 76ers that you were talking about, can Doc fix Embiid and Simmons? Can they play together?
I'm not a big Embiid fan.
For me, they clog the lane. You know, I mean, yeah, Simmons isn't a shooter. Yeah. And it's that they're getting in each other's way. It would have been fun watching Embiid and Harden.
Oh yeah. It would have. I get that. But again, Embiid, as big as he is, he'll make some plays down in a post, but he'll skate on that 3-point line all day. And I'm like,
yep,
dude, you're 7 foot two.
It'll be interesting.
Like you're a big I think boss. You gotta get Doc an unbelievable game down there, down low. Use it. He don't use it enough.
Well, here's the thing. That whole part of his game kind of dates back to what we were talking about earlier, and guys being able to just be like Harden dictating his schedule, the team schedule. Like it's a player driven league. So guys, if guys want to shoot a three, it really doesn't matter unless it's the last guy on the bench shooting it at clutch time late in the game. Dude, guys don't care. They're just gonna yoke it up. They're just gonna chunk that thing up. I think Embiid being at the 3-point line does help though, because like you said, Joe. I mean Simmons cannot hit a three to save his life. To save his life, man. So that does kind of even it out. But as far as Harden, I wasn't surprised when he went to the Nets. I really wasn't. Like, I know a lot of people were kind of like taken back, like, oh man, we didn't see that coming. Honestly, man, league, like I said last week, the league actually had in the last like 10 years had pretty good parity with how the league with KD leaving and it just being kind of Clay and Steph in Golden State. And And you know it is
Katie and AD,
Katie and Kyrie. Yeah, like, it was nice. It was nice. Right. Yeah, and then you had nice teams. Like you got the Heat. The Heat have a very nice roster. There's no surprise why the Rockets try to go after the Heat the first chance they got and go after that entire roster. And the Celtics. The Celtics have a solid roster. They always do. Yeah. But I thought there was good parity. And now I think this was kind of like, to me, it makes me kind of throw up. Like, I'm just like, ugh, like it doesn't do it for me. I think Kyrie's gone. I think Kyrie tries to get back with LeBron and go to LA to make another super team, because that's just the kind of guy he is along with Harden.
This is the AAU culture. Like, yeah,
exactly. AAU culture. Everybody needs two or three guys to make the big basket.
Well, and that's the case, you know, because you got 17-year-olds pretending they're 12. But anyways. I'm not going to talk about AAU games.
But
I might have been a 14-year-old when I was 17.
That's in damn near every sport though when they start betting on it too, man.
Well, look, hey, Joe, man, look, seriously, dude, thank you for coming on, dude. We definitely going to have you back. We're definitely going to have you back. There's no doubt about it. You're going to be back home. We're going to talk some more basketball. Don't worry. Don't forget, if you're in the Baton Rouge area, check them out, Richie Brothers Lawn Service, LLC.
Oh, numbers I cut right grass there. In Lake Charles, too.
I know you cut grass in Lake Charles. If you're in Lake Charles, so what about Sulphur? You cut grass in Sulphur?
Absolutely.
Everywhere. It doesn't matter, man. If it's in the boot, he's cutting it.
Hey, if you're in Houston, too far.
Yeah. Maybe orange, though. Orange ain't that bad.
Hey, all right. Orange. There we go.
There we go. But anyways, hey, dude, seriously, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. We're definitely going to do another more in-depth basketball when it gets on. Kyle, as always, thanks for showing up. I'm going to have one quick question. I want this for Joe, just for Joe before we end the show. Better chance of making the playoffs, New York Knicks or Charlotte Hornets?
Hornets all the way, baby.
Let's go all the way. He's like, so the Knicks doing a decent start, it ain't working, right?
Nah. Hey, the young – hey, ball, man, LaMelo. Hey,
he's a stud.
Fun to watch, baby.
Dude, how about the rebirth of Gordon Hayward?
Gordon Hayward. Let me tell you, dude, I'd much rather see Gordon Hayward shoot a three than LaMelo shooting a three. Lord Jesus, look like he's shooting a bowling ball. It's terrible. What he was not at the rec center putting up shots. I'll tell you that much.
That's all the Ball brothers, man. They all have a quirky release.
Yeah. So, but anyway, once again, Joe, appreciate you for stopping in.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate it, brother.
And all right, man, I appreciate it. Always, thank y'all so much for tuning in. Listen, we're going to download it. Be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple, wherever the podcasts are, at Instagram, at the Slaw Office, wherever else we're at. Just find us, the Slaw Office. We're going to be, I think we got merchandise coming soon. Been working on that. So for anybody that wants to partake in that, we'll be selling some t-shirts, maybe some beanies, hats. I don't know, whatever else we feel like we're going to get into. But once again, thank y'all for tuning in. As always, we'll see you next time on the Slaw Office.